Tuesday, March 22nd, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I want to return to an issue that has been dominating the headlines. We've covered this a couple of times. I want to go back to it because it is such a dominant story, and that's the situation in Ukraine.
Tom, it is a dominant story. There's headlines every day, and rightly so. First of all, one of the reasons it's dominant is because of a unique reality. Tom, as you know, there was a quote-unquote the Great War, World War I, where millions lost their life, and the battleground was Europe. And it, of course, was framed by nations invading other nations. There was an attempt to never repeat this by starting an organization after the war called the League of Nations. Woodrow Wilson was one of the architects of that. But all of that fell apart, and then, as most of our listeners know, came World War II, with even greater numbers of deaths and even greater numbers of nations, as it became basically a three-front war in Northern Africa and Southern Europe, as well as the Pacific and Central Europe. Again, national invasions as Germany and Japan began their imperial march that led to World War II and to their defeat. Again, with organizations such as the North Atlantic Treaty Organization and then the United Nations, there was every effort, this cannot happen again. Now, we have had numerous wars / conflicts since then, but we have not had in Europe a nation invading another nation until Russia has now invaded the sovereign nation of Ukraine. And so that's one of the reasons this is a significant moment, that Western and Central Europe have now become a focal point for the nation of Russia, or as Vladimir Putin calls it, the Greater Russia has now invaded the sovereign nation of Ukraine, having previously invaded its southern borders in the area called Crimea and claiming that for itself. The statistics are horrendous. One event that has been highlighted by the national news was the focal bombing of a verified maternity hospital. And that story actually carried something that more than one commentator has noted. There were a number of deaths due to that bombing, and one death was a woman who was pregnant, expecting a child, and therefore in the maternity hospital. And as she died, they engaged in an effort to save the child, but the child did not survive. It was interesting that in news report after news report, journalists violated their own coded language as they spoke of how Russia was responsible for the death of this woman in the maternity hospital and her baby. Now, what's interesting is in other settings, they would refuse to call that child in the womb a baby. They would call it fetal tissue or a fetus, but not a baby. But now they did, and rightly so. That is accurate, that two people died at that moment. Not just one, two people died, and that is the woman and the baby that was in her womb at the time. And of course, you now see the displacement of millions, and the bravery of the Ukrainians have joined in with their military. Many men ages 18 to 55 have stepped up alongside of the Ukrainian soldiers, and what was supposed to be a swift takeover, reminiscent of the old German Blitzkrieg in World War II, has slowed down to a crawl and has been thwarted at point after point. Now, most people believe that the war materiel and the number of troops will ultimately win the day and eventually eradicate the Ukrainian resistance. Everyone is also recognizing with that kind of devotion to their country, not only will the occupation of that country militarily be difficult, the political occupation of the country afterwards may be impossible in and of itself. And so the anticipation of extended conflict, even if there is a military victory by the Russian army. Another thing that's been noted is the united European response to Russia in terms of its humanitarian and material support of Ukraine and the receiving of the refugees that are pouring over into nations such as Poland and Hungary. Tom, another point in this conflict has been the sanctions that have been established by the United States, by the NATO allies, and the considerations in the United Nations itself. Now, we're starting to feel the pinch of that in America because of two reasons. Number one is about 10% of our petroleum comes from Russia and makes its way into the power industries of the United States. Secondly, we're more vulnerable to that 10% because the present administration has removed the petroleum production and the natural gas production that had made us energy independent. In fact, in the previous administration, we were actually exporting energy to other nations. Now we are vulnerable as the decision to remove our independent status in terms of the production of oil and natural gas has created a national security problem because of the sanctions against importing Russian oil. But now we find ourselves having to do business with nations who are equally devious and guilty of denial of human rights, such as Venezuela, to make up that deficit, when, of course, with our own efforts, we could make up the deficit by simply reestablishing the various pipelines that have been shut down with regulations that cannot be met by the oil industry itself. So that whole dynamic has now become a part of it. But the last thing we want to consider is the encouraging response of nonprofit organizations in general, but noteworthy is the professing evangelical church through organizations such as Samaritan's Purse, other relief organizations, and then, of course, individual churches that we have relationships with in Ukraine. Tom, our Briarwood Missions and Mercy Ministry made a very, very significant commitment financially and sending people and supporting people that are going over there to help with the refugee situation. But the other thing that we have been able to do is we have three church planting teams that are there, and we are working through those teams and their efforts, as well as some church planting teams in Poland and Hungary, so that we know there is a gospel-based, effective refugee ministry going on in the lives of these dislocated families. And now, of course, obviously, we're into the millions, and you can imagine what that's like as they pour over the borders in these smaller countries, not as large as ours, in Central Europe. So we realize that the essentials of life, the care of life, the accommodations for life are at a premium, and I praise the Lord for the gospel-wrapped, gospel-motivated, and gospel-communicated ministries of mercy and benevolence that are taking place. And of course, all of that is undergirded by intercessory prayer, praying for the Christians in Russia, praying for the Christians in Ukraine, praying for the Christians in the surrounding countries, and then praying for those who yet do not know Christ, who in the midst of this crisis, we can not only minister to them, but lead them to Christ in the midst of this unwarranted war. Let me be clear, in the Christian world and life view, this is not a just war. This is an invading war. So we are praying for an end to this war and a reestablishment of the sovereignty of a nation, and at the same time, the advance of the kingdom of God through believers and churches that are remaining faithful to Christ, even in the context of their national situation and all of the adversarial dynamics that this war is producing.
The Apostle Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. It is essential that we have a proper understanding of spiritual warfare. What does the Bible say about spiritual warfare? How do we see it played out in our everyday lives? Pastor Reeder delivers 15 sermons to help us understand that we might stand. To order your copy of this series, go to briarwood.org/spiritual warfare. Well, thanks for being with us today. Join us again tomorrow, Wednesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today and perspective.